to Forever Blue Shirts. I am Jim Cerny, and the good-looking guy here next to me is none other but Don LaGreca, my longtime partner, or long-ago partner. I guess we're not longtime partners. You and Michael Kay are longtime partners, right? But we were long-ago partners on NHL Live and Sports Phone and all that. And Donnie, here after the trade deadline, it's great to get you on and talk some puck.
Yeah, I've been... I've known you for 32 years, so I've known you a lot longer than I've known Michael Kay. You were my boss. You were a mentor. You were a talk show partner, friend. Come on. What a resume. It's Michael Kay. Who's Michael Kay compared to you?
So here's the thing that worried me about everything you just said there, because it was all nice. It's all fluff and everything. I don't know that I believe half of it. But you put everything in the past sense. You said you were my boss, you were my partner, talk show partner, you were my friend. That's the part that concerns me a little
That's
bit.
That's what you decide to have.
It's the past tense.
No, listen, but right now we're just colleagues talking on a Ranger show. But no, we are still very close friends. I love you. I don't know how I can express it any better than that.
Pretty direct and honest, as we've heard throughout on the Michael Kay show. And I know you're down in Tampa now, and you're getting ready for your show. So thanks for carving out a few minutes for us today.
My pleasure.
So listen, you just laid it out there. We've known each other 32 years. You know, I'm not big into hyperbole or putting too much into one game or one instance and part of a big season and everything. But I've written a couple stories already since last night's game, and I'm not going to diminish how big that game was, how big that victory was for the New York Rangers against the Carolina Hurricanes last night. In my book, biggest win of the season for them, and I think it really shows you how far they've come and where they're headed the rest of this regular season and into the postseason. You tell me, and again, you know me well enough, and you're kind of like me. You don't buy into the hyperbole and everything either. Am I putting too much emphasis on what we saw last night?
I had the honor of calling the game with Dave Maloney, and we knew instantaneously the way the crowd was engaged, how that first period went down. It was a playoff game. It really was. Because of the stupidity of the NHL schedule, they only played three times, and this was the last meeting. And the last time these two teams played back in January, Carolina had the better of the Rangers. And the Rangers come in having, you know, a victory against New Jersey. They didn't play particularly well, not bad, but not great. You know, and then you got to fly all the way to Carolina. Carolina's sitting there. I thought that they were a distinct disadvantage going to that game. You know, no Rempe. You're playing another game without Trouba. At some point, you're going to lose the game with Trouba out of the lineup. And it just all things pointed to this maybe not being their night. And, boy, they played a terrific first period. They withstood the pressure that Carolina put on them in the second period. And boy, that third period was just, it was a playoff game. There was just no room, a lot of hitting. There wasn't a ton of shots, but the shots I thought were quality. I thought both teams played terrific hockey. I thought that was one of the best games I've seen Keandre Miller play, maybe in his career. I thought Zach Jones was terrific. You really see, it wasn't sexy at the deadline, but Wennberg and Roslovic really are nice additions to this team. I completely 100% agree with you. That was the biggest win of the season. And that really shows you what this team is capable of doing.
There are so many areas here that we can break down. But one of the things that stood out to me was, it wasn't just that the Rangers went into Carolina and the whole setup that you had, it was kind of against them. You know, you would think things are stacked against them in this game. But one of the things that really stood out to me was not only how good the Rangers were, but Carolina was damn good too. It wasn't like, oh, the Rangers caught him on an off night and took advantage of him. No, I thought Carolina came with their A game as well. The Rangers met it. And I thought they played very, very similar styles of hockey as well. You know, those two, I mean, that was murder getting through the neutral zone most of that game, because both teams just were shutting it down so well. Yeah. So in a way, the Rangers out-Carolina'd the Hurricanes.
And that's the Peter Laviolette influence, right? Because you do see when the Rangers get burned, sometimes they do let that easy entrance into the neutral zone, and next thing there's odd man rushes. I didn't see a lot of that. And when there were, Igor was absolutely terrific. Yeah, but they really clogged it up. And you look at that Svechnikov line and what they've been able to produce, terrific. Natchez, I think, is a guy that's really beginning to pop. Remember, this was Gensel's first game. I don't think he played out of his mind at all. He's going to play better. And then Kuznetsov, as he starts to get his sea legs, that team's going to get even better. You know, but right, I thought Carolina really brought it. That second period, they, I believe the shots were, I think, 11-6 in favor of Carolina. It's a really good quality, but Rangers were all over them. And think about it. You're playing a game without Jacob Trouba. That's not nothing. I mean, he's supposed to be one of your better defensemen, and I thought Zach Jones played well. But you're right. The system that Peter Laviolette institutes, they took on a Carolina team. Carolina brought their best. The Rangers handled it very well. And that was, even though it was 1-0, I thought it was an exciting, terrific hockey game. And we'll see what they do tomorrow against Tampa.
I think you're spot on talking about how well Zach Jones played last night. I think he's played really well all three games since replacing Trouba in the lineup. But the guy that I focus on more is Braden Schneider, moving up to play with Keandre Miller. Last night he played with almost 22 minutes last night, most ice time he's had all season. I thought he was a difference, not only good, I thought he was a difference maker out there, and I really like that pairing. He seems to bring out the best in Miller, unless Miller feels like he needs to step up a little bit more here with, you know, with Schneider instead of Trouba as his partner. But I thought, I agree with you, I thought Miller was great last night, and I thought it might have been Schneider's best game of the season.
And you begin to wonder if Schneider continues to play this well with Miller, is it just automatic that Trouba and Miller get reunited? Now, they've played very well together, and obviously you're not breaking up Lindgren and Fox. I don't think you put Trouba on the third pairing at all, but Schneider has just been great. And the, obviously Miller can bring the better out of than Gustafson can. I mean, Gustafson, he is what he is. He's a nice player, but Schneider is emerging as what could be a really good depth defenseman and even better than that. So it gives them tons of options, Jim, going into the playoffs. I was talking to Brian Boyle on Saturday because he was doing the game for MSG. You need 8 defensemen in the playoffs if you're going to make a run. And the fact that they could have 8 defensemen that could actually all play at an elite level, because let's not forget about Chad Ruedel. Not sure what they'll do with him because I don't think he can play the left side, and they're pretty stacked on the right. But to have that kind of depth on the blue line shows you just how deep this team can be and how a run could really be in them, even if they have a couple of injuries.
You also, you know, in talking here, there are so many different topics floating around. We're right after the trade deadline. You mentioned Roslovic and Wennberg. You mentioned Gensel and Kuznetsov. And I think it's going to be really cool to see down the stretch. And I think once we get to the second round of the playoffs, because I really believe I'd be stunned if we don't get Rangers Hurricanes in the second round of the playoffs, right? So you look at it, and it's so cool to see two different approaches at the trade deadline. You know, Carolina really for the first time going, I mean, all in, chips in. We're going to get the top guy out there in Jake Gensel, and then make the move that could have upset the apple cart in bringing Kuznetsov in as well. So far, been a good soldier, and you know, was one of their best forwards last night. Had two of the best scoring chances in that second period, Igor Stoninum. And then you take the Rangers approach, which was, no, it's not going to be the year of Patrick Kane. It's not going to be the year of Tarasenko. We're going to find the right fits into our lineup, or what we perceive to be the top fits. So kind of two different approaches on two teams that to me are almost dead equal down the middle. I mean, you can flip a coin on any given night and who's going to beat whom. So that said, just a quick analysis from your viewpoint on what the two teams did and how you think it all shakes out again come playoff time.
Because you know, even though they seem to be in the same place battling for the Metropolitan Division, Carolina's been going at this for a while, Jim. I mean, it's been a while since they've been banging on the door with Rod Brind'Amour. So they maybe felt like they wanted to be more all in and sacrifice more of the future, where Chris Drury wants to continue on the path of holding on the picks, holding on the prospects. I think they could have been on Gensel, but they would have had to give up mortgage too much of their future. They weren't willing to do that. And if you look at the history of the Rangers, yeah, it's not the Tarasenkos and the Canes. It's the Copps and the Vetranos. It's going back to when they got Broussard and Zibanejad. You know, they didn't know they were getting Zibanejad when they got Zibanejad. That wasn't a sexy move. Rick Nash was a sexy move. But Zibanejad and Broussard and Vetrano and Cobb at the time, those were the pieces. They just fit. And that's why I think Wennberg and Roslovic are good fits. Gensel, coming off of injury, he was on IR when they acquired him. So it's going to take him a while to get going. Kuznetsov, we don't know if it's going to work. if he's going to be what he was when he should have won the Conn Smythe Trophy, it's going to be a coup for Carolina. But if it takes him a while to get going after, you know, being in the program, not playing for a while, it could backfire. So they both went in different directions, Jim, because I think Carolina probably feels a little bit more desperation because they've been knocking on the door for almost a decade now. It's been a while. And, you know, last year's conference final was disappointing, losing to Florida. Maybe they realize as an organization, can they really rely upon being able to be there every single year the way Chris Drury feels like he's built the Rangers to be there every single year?
And Carolina also has, you know, they have a string of UFAs and RFAs at the end of the season, too. So, you know, this team's going to look a little bit different. You know, I mean, right off the bat, you have Shea and Pesci. You know, they could lose two major pieces of the puzzle on the blue line, you know, during the off season. So I get them going, you know, chips all to the middle. But the other thing I like from the Chris Drury point of view, and we had Neil Smith on as a guest and talked to Marty Biron, you know, good friend of ours and an analyst now in the NHL. And they both said similar things ahead of the trade deadline, that the Rangers have this great thing going, a really good thing. That is a great locker room. Certainly you've been around it a lot. You know, I've been around it a little bit as well. That's a really good room, good leadership group, a really tight knit group that's doing well. I mean, they're a cup contender before they get to the deadline, right? So you didn't want to upset the apple cart. So you wanted to make, it was really inherent on Chris Drury to make the right moves. Brings in Wennberg, who knows some of the veteran guys on the team. He knows Zibanejad. He knows Panarin, played with Panarin recently. You know, he knows Gustafson, you know. So that's three guys right there that know this guy and say, hey, he's a good guy. He's good. He's home, you know. And then with Roslovic, he, you know, he knows the guys from the World Junior team, you know, with Fox and Lindgren. You know, he knows those guys coming in as well. And it was imperative to keep that balance. It was a real tightrope I thought Drury had to walk. And it looks like, again, you know, we're only a week past the deadline. They're 3-0. I get it. All's rosy and good. But it looks like he nailed it.
Yeah, I think he did. And also, you know, what would they have done if Hedl doesn't get hurt? If Blake Wheeler doesn't get hurt? I mean, so these, I didn't look at them as, well, these were at, you know, ads. They needed to replace Hedl. They just did. They needed a center. I think they've upgraded, no offense to Blake Wheeler at this stage of his career. I think they probably would have still made the Roslovic move already, but being able to see that they had to replace those guys was important. And holding on to Kako, to me, is kind of a pseudo trade for them because I still think he could pop, Jim. I see it. Even last night, he can puck handle in very limited space. He's creating opportunities. We're starting to see Lafreniere grow. Will he ever justify the second overall pick overall? Likely not. Neither will Lafreniere, the first overall pick. But to be able to do this and be able to hold on to Kako, I think he did a tremendous job. You know, being on the K show, there were sexier moves that would have gotten the fan base excited. I like the fact that the fan base was a little disappointed. I like that it wasn't all sexy because sometimes sexy doesn't work. This has a tendency to work. And even though they haven't, I think Wenberg's the only one with a point. I don't think Roslovic has scored yet. In his three games, you see they're contributors. They're involved. They make the team better. And that's what wins Stanley Cups.
And we'll see, you know, again, it's we'll know when we know, right?
Well, yeah.
Especially with Roslovic, he's a guy that's been wildly inconsistent throughout his career. You know, he's had some great runs, and then he's had 2-month stretches where you don't realize that he's got the uniform on, you know. So, but here I think he's motivated. I think he's in a good situation. How can he not be thrilled to be out of Columbus, even though that's where he's from, to be out of Columbus, and you're playing with Mika Zibanejad and Chris Kreider, you know, every night, 5-on-5. You're playing second power play on that team. How can he not be motivated to make a run at it on a team that you know has a legitimate shot?
Of course, of course. But you're right. You don't know. Look at the way Florida's loaded up. Carolina makes the moves that they do. Not everybody can win the cup. There's only one, and especially the way this is out. Right. The more likely the Rangers are going to face Carolina in the second round. One of those two teams made moves at the deadline just to get to the second round. Like, that's the way this sport is. So only one team can win. You do the best you can. That's why holding on to assets moving forward to know that I can now go for it again next year and the year after. I found it interesting that Laviolette got a 3-year contract, because that told me it was a 3-year window with this team to try to make something happen. So Chris wanted to make sure that the next 2 years, he's got an equal amount of chance to do it and still have the assets to make deals when they become desperate the way Carolina is, or they get that close the way Florida is. Florida had to do what they did. They're the best team in the NHL. It kind of reminds me of the 94 Rangers, right? Almost excessively adding pieces because they were dead by the Stanley Cup final last year, right? Everybody was hurt. So everybody's got to do what's best for them in the slot that they're given. And you got to like the fact that the Rangers are doing the dual roles of, we're trying to win a Stanley Cup, but we also believe that we have a future. And not every team can say that.
I would argue that right now, I know it wasn't this way a month and a half ago, but right now, and with his pedigree, I don't know that there's a goalie I'd want more going into the Stanley Cup playoffs than Igor Shesterkin. And that's with Bobrovsky, I think, is right there with him. Mm-hmm. Because Bob turned the corner last year, obviously, in the postseason, and has carried it over into this full season. So he's really back on top of his game, right? And yes, I like the Boston goalies. And of course, there are good goalies. But Igor has found something again. And I think going through that adversity and coming out on the other end in the course of the season, I think it's a good thing. I think that tells you a lot about the guy and about his mental toughness. And he's just playing at an all-world level right now. So your take on that, you think that's too hot a take? He's the goalie compared to all the other 15 you'll see in the playoffs. He's the guy I'd put the money on.
I think it's spot on. He did struggle. Listen, he had a goal. He had a save percentage that was under 900 at one point. But he got through it. And that's how you judge any kind of character, right? In their worst moments, how do they recover from it? And not only has he recovered, he's absolutely flourished. And you know when you see that he's feeling it? When he's puck handling and he's throwing the puck out of the zone and he's aggressive in the crease. Like, you just see that it's all about confidence with him. And to know that he can go through that and bounce back tells me he can handle any adversity that gets thrown at him. There's a lot of good goaltenders. And, you know, Vasilevsky's going to go to the Hall of Fame in Tampa, although I don't think the Lightning are that kind of an elite team where he can get them there. The goalies in Boston, as you said, maybe not the pedigree, but very good. But you know what? If you have a choice of all the goaltenders, how are you not picking Igor Shesterkin based on what he's done recently? And he was, you know, how great he played 2 years ago, which sometimes I think Jimmy's unfairly judged by, right? 2 years ago, when he had the best goal against average since Jacques Plante, it set a standard that I think even he couldn't live up to. But now it's all kind of falling in place, and I got a great feel about him. And the quick backing him up, I mean, it's really just a great tandem.
You know, great players, great teams. Adversity is so important. Like, we saw Boston fly through last season. I'm not saying they didn't, you know, have adversity internal and external. But listen, they cruised through that season at a record-setting pace, as we all know. And you saw what happened when they faced adversity in the postseason. I go back to something Mark Messier, and you probably have heard me tell this story many times. Mark Messier telling me at the end of the 93 season, I was up at Rye at the old practice rink. Their season had come to that terrible end. They didn't even make the playoffs. And Messier didn't say it once. He said it 3, 4, 5 times. He said you had to lose. Even the best teams have to lose before they win. So that's why last year, and I'm kind of working around the point here, the Rangers make the Eastern Conference final. They make that run kind of out of nowhere, right, in 2022. And all the talk last year was cup favorite, Ranger cup. They had a really good regular season. But I never thought that they were going to win the cup last year. I really did not. Because I had Mark knows a lot more about hockey than I do. It's like, yeah, you kind of got to lose. It's just not always this perfect progression going up, you know? And that's... They stumbled and everything. And then that happened. I know Ranger fans were jumping off buildings and all that. I said, you watch. It's going to be good for this team. because there are good people in that room and they're really good players. They're going to come back. They are going to be so dedicated, whether Gallant was the coach, better that it's Laviolette is the coach. They're going to buy in and they're going to be better for it in the long run. And I think that's exactly what we've seen from training camp on with them. So again, you know, really going hardcore into a theory here, but I want to get your take on it. If you think that maybe I'm putting too much into that.
No, I'm a big believer in that. I've talked about that many times with Messier when he's been on, and also just in general talk show conversation. Hockey. Do the Devils win three Stanley Cups if they didn't go through losing the way they did to the Rangers in 94? They learned from it, came back with the same core, won the cup the very next year. Do the Giants win in 86 if they're not embarrassed by the Bears in 85 in the divisional round? Like, you need that. And what the Devils are going through right now. Everybody said, oh, the Devils are going to win a Stanley Cup based on what they did last year. They may use what happened to them this year as a way to be much better in the future. You've got to learn how to face adversity. It's so hard to win in sports, Jim. See, everybody wants to win. Everybody thinks they've got a chance to win. But you got to know how to lose and how to bounce back from that losing. We're talking about with Igor. Maybe the reason he's playing so well is he saw the darkness of that real bad slump and learned from it. So I'm with you. I never really felt like the Rangers were going to win a Stanley Cup last year. I thought they had a chance the year before when they were up 2-0 against Tampa. But that kind of proved to them, you know what? You were close, but really, you're really that close. Now they know what they're going to have to go through to be able to get there.
You got to run. You got your real job. You're on the clock shortly here. So quick final one for you. I know we're still weeks away from the playoffs. Guys could get hurt. You know, who knows? A million things can happen here. But as the NHL stands right now, if you had to pick one from the East, one from the West, who do you got in the final at this point, knowing that you can change it over the course of the weeks?
Well, I'm going to tell you, my Stanley Cup pick at the beginning of the season was Carolina Dallas. Now, that's not a bad pick now, but I'm not really feeling it anymore. It's hard to pick against Florida. It really, now they're even deeper. And I had a great – you've talked to Jacques Martin, I'm sure, many times. We got robbed of getting a chance when he was an assistant coach with the Rangers because it was during COVID. We didn't get a chance to talk to him. But I called a game up in Ottawa, and we were talking to him after – during the scrum, and he talked about, I was in Florida when they hired Paul Maurice. It took a while for them to figure it out, and then they figured it out. That was not an 8 seed that went to the Stanley Cup final by the time they got there. They were an elite team, and they're proving it this year. Remember, they won the President's Trophy the year before and got knocked out early, so they kind of learned their lesson. All of that kind of feeds into me thinking it's going to be Florida in an epic battle with the Rangers in the conference final. And out West, I don't believe in Vancouver. I think they've got to learn their lesson too. It's all happening a little bit too fast, I think, for them. So Colorado, Winnipeg, Dallas. I'm going to stick with Dallas. Colorado's a little too flaky for me. I don't know if Winnipeg is quite ready. So that I would say it would probably be, how about we go Florida, Dallas, which I'm sure we'll make ESPN and ABC go wild, but that'll be my pick. What do you think?
Those are good choices. I do believe as well. I think Florida certainly is the team to beat. Not just because they're first overall right now. You just look at it and you look exactly as you laid it out, where they came from and everything. So I'm with you as well on that. Don LaGreca, really appreciate your time today. You know me. You and I, we could freaking talk hockey for hours on end and probably bore the people to tears out there, but we would enjoy it.
Yeah,
so we could appreciate your time.
We could talk Mets, and we could talk Led Zeppelin. There's plenty of things we could talk about.
Yeah, I'm going to get a few Led Zeppelin tidbits, but we'll save that for the next time.
Sounds good, man. Thank you.
All right, appreciate it, Donnie.